Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Good morning. I love that bumper video. It's like, come on, get ready. The word's coming. I'm like, yeah, it's good. Everybody all right today? All good? It's feeling a little bit muted, but we'll go with it. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Dina, and I'm one of the pastors here at New Life. It's a privilege to be able to share it with you today. Have any of you ever heard of or experienced an escape room? An escape room? Got a few. Okay, anybody done an escape room? Okay, just a few. Okay, so an escape room, if like me, you may have, I had no clue what they were and what I thought it was, because I heard this craze of people going to escape rooms, and as the clue is in the name, you have to go in the room and escape. And I genuinely thought it was a room that you would just get locked in, which instantly made me feel a little bit claustrophobic, but you would get locked in and then you would have an hour to unpick the lock to get out. And I thought, why is that such an interesting craze for people to go in? And just because I'd be terrible at unpicking a lock, I'd probably just panic and be like, I'll just sit here for 60 minutes and hope someone lets me out. That's what I thought escape rooms were. For those of you who don't know, and I now do know, an escape room is it's a room that's based, they're all different themed rooms, and there's a backstory to it. And what happens is you go in with a group of people and the door is locked, which is a little bit freaky, but if you're really panicky, they can leave it unlocked. And basically you hear the backstory of what your kind of your quest is, and then you have to solve clues and riddles and puzzles in order to then unlock the next clue, to get the next clue, to then be able to win the challenge, and then the door opens and you've won. And the idea is it's a race against time. You've got to do it in 60 minutes. It's not just sitting in and having to unpick the lock. And the very first escape room I went to, it was a hen party. And there was about 12 of us. And at this particular escape room, they had two identical rooms. So basically, you could go in and you could compete one team against the other. Who got out first, or who, in this case, won the most money, pretend money. And, oh, it was the best thing ever. I absolutely loved it. Our backstory was it was something to do with a bank robbery. And in 60 minutes, the villains were coming to kind of steal the money. And so we had to get there first, and we had to go through all these clues to unlock this big vault that was in the room. And it was just, yeah, it was so much fun. And when we came, we came out with about 1 or 2 minutes to spare, and we were high on adrenaline, like, we did it, and we got like £600,000 out of the, obviously pretend money, unfortunately. But the really interesting thing was that when we came out, our team, we were absolutely buzzing. We were buzzing because we'd succeeded, we'd got the money. But the other team, it's kind of a little bit awkward because they'd got no money and there was a few strained relationships in the team. So like, whereas for us this had been this incredibly fun activity, for them, and basically why we were successful is because in our team, in our room, we'd worked as a team, we'd each taken our own part, and we'd collaborated, and rather than all of us trying to do everything, we'd split the jobs up. Whereas in the other room, there'd been some, I'm going to do that, no, I want to do that. And there'd been some kind of those fractious relationships, and they'd not worked as a team. Now, since we did that, we got given a voucher as a family. I think a photo's going to come up. We've done a couple of escape rooms, and here we are, successful. On the one on the right, we got out in 45 minutes. So that was very good, because we did it in under 60 minutes. But just as a bit of a kind of an owning up, the very first escape room we did, I loved it and thought, I'm amazing. Since then, when I've been with the family, I realise I'm not so good. Because I can't think laterally very well, and I'll just look at something. So my job, I tend to be the one, I'll just pull everything, like, does this turn, does this move? We did one room, and they said, we're just going to give you a clue. Magnets play a part in this room. Well, I was testing everything. Is this a magnet? Is this a magnet? Is this a magnet? So I tend to just pull things, or, oh, look, this turns. And then I give it to Mark and the kids, and they, like, work it out. Or usually, because the lights are dimmed and my eyes are not very good, I end up with a torch looking at stuff. But it's a lot of fun, an escape room. But the best escape room experiences are those where everybody knows what they need to do, where everybody kind of knows what the bigger picture is. So like this one on the left, we had to, that big sword that George was holding, the king had hidden the sword and we had to find it. When everybody knows what they're supposed to do, when they know the bigger picture and they actually just get stuck in. And I think that's true of any team or any organization or any church, that actually when we know what we're supposed to do, when we're aware of what the bigger picture is, and when we get stuck in, that's when we succeed. And so this morning in our service, we're having a real focus on teams. Because at New Life, we don't believe in a one-man band or one-woman band who kind of leads and has to do everything. But actually, to do what we do as a church takes an army of people, a group of people who are willing to say, with what I've got, I'm willing to use it to serve Jesus. I'm willing to use it to serve his kingdom and to see church become all it can be. So this morning is partly about acknowledging the incredible group of people who are already a part of one of our teams. And hopefully it's also going to be about inspiring some others to say, I'd like to sign up and I'd like to get involved in serving. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, I thank you. We've already been reminded that the God of the universe is here today. Father, I thank you because you are for us, not against us. I thank you that you gift us with gifts and abilities. And I thank you we get to use them for your glory. So as I speak now, the words I believe you have laid on my heart, will you, Holy Spirit, speak? Let it land where it needs to land. And may we hear your voice above all others. In your name we ask this, Jesus. Amen. Before we dive into teams, I want to look just very briefly at theology of serving. A theology of serving. Why serve? Why, when we're all potentially incredibly busy people with lots of things to fill our time, why do we feel it's an important thing to serve in church? Where is the biblical evidence that serving is a good thing? And there were a few passages in the Bible, three of them mainly, that focus on the gifts that God gives to us. And some of them are practical gifts, and some of them are more spiritual gifts. But there are passages in the Bible that focus on the gifts and skills that God gives to us. So we probably won't read them all now, but they might come up on the screen behind me. So Romans 12, this is what Paul says. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I love that Paul includes that. If you've got a gift of showing kindness, do it gladly. So really practical gifts. If you're good at hospitality, do it well. If you're good at giving, give generously. If you're a teacher, teach well. So God gives us natural, practical skills and gifts that we can use. And then equally, in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, Paul says, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And so those gifts are examples of gifts that God gives the church to help equip the people of the church to do the work of God. So again, a slightly different kind of gift, but a skill nonetheless. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the different spiritual gifts that are given. So he says the one Spirit gives the gifts, but there are different gifts. So there are the ability to give wise advice, give a message of special knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, give one the gift of performing miracles, the ability to prophesy, the ability to discern whether a message is from God or not. So there are lots and lots of different spiritual gifts that God gives to us. And in fairness, we could do a really in-depth study on all of those passages and just delve in a little bit deeper. What is God given these gifts for, and where could we use them? But suffice to say, God gives gifts. Okay, we've got the evidence from the Bible there. But this morning, I want to focus on... Sorry, my iPad just went wrong there. I want to focus on a passage from 1 Corinthians 12, which is kind of just after the gifts that Paul wrote about. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. The body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? So I always have a picture of this giant eye bobbing around. If the whole body was an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. There are many parts, but one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And then it goes on and it says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, prophets, teachers, those who do miracles, gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. The point Paul is making in this passage is that just as a physical body is made up of many different parts, so too the body of Christ. So globally, the church, capital C, is the body of Christ. We this morning make up the body of Christ. But then also on a smaller, more local level, we here at New Life are the body of Christ. And just like our physical bodies have many different parts that perform many different functions, so too with the body of Christ. We all have a part that we can play. And it, you know, like it says, if the whole body was an ear, how would we smell? And it's the same with the church. You know, if everybody had the gift, we all had the same gift, we'd be a very one-sided church. But actually, we all have gifts and skills and abilities, and we all have a part to play. You know, when Jesus, some of Jesus' final words that he left us with were, therefore, go and make disciples. And that's our mission, not just to come and gather, but we are to go and to share the love and the message of Jesus with people. And so that's a big mission. And that takes more than just one person doing their part. That takes all of us stepping up and saying, this is what I can give. This is what I can do. You know, I love that God chooses to partner with us. Because we've just heard from Mark, God is the God of creation. He's the one who spoke the word into being. He's the one who sustains it by his will and by his word. He could just do as he wants, and yet he chooses to partner with us. And if you look around this morning, we are a mixed bunch of people. We are all from different backgrounds, different countries, different ethnicities. And God chooses to partner with you and with me. And the church, not just New Life, but the church globally, is how God chooses to reach the world. And we get the privilege of being a part of that. And you'll know that in our This Time Tomorrow, when we do our monthly interviews and we invite one of you up and we find out a little bit more about what you do, you know that we place huge emphasis on what you do the other 6 days of the week. What you do, your work, your vocation, it's as much a part of serving Jesus as being in churches, but we need both. We need to serve in church and also out of church. So why do we serve? This one's going to come up, I think. In order to utilize our God-given gifts, skills, and abilities to see his kingdom established here on earth. We don't serve just to make ourselves feel better or because there's a gap on the rotor, so I'll just put my name down. No, no, no. We serve. We get to use our gifts and skills and abilities to see his kingdom come as on earth as in heaven. Could you pass me my drink, please? Sorry. A little bit hot up here, thanks. So if that's why serving is important, how does that translate into this setting, into New Life setting? I believe we need three things. I learned from Russ that, I remember when we first joined and we used to, on the video notices, you used to say, here's three things you need to know. So people can remember three things. I think that's kind of a commonly held belief. So three things: we need knowledge, we need ownership, and we need action. Knowledge, ownership, and action. So, knowledge. If ever you are putting together a quiz team for like a pub quiz team, or if ever you need a friend for phone a friend on who wants to be a millionaire? Is that still air? We all know who wants to be a millionaire? We've got a few. Okay, you get a phone a friend. Or if you need a partner for any other quiz show that's on TV, don't ask me. Okay, I am not your woman for that, because just general knowledge and just knowing random stuff, I would let you down. So please don't ever phone me, because I'd be like, not too sure. I know if ever I was putting a quiz team together, it'd have Mark, my dad, and his dad, and that's all I'd need. They just know stuff. However, if you want somebody who is good at kind of pulling events together, or being really encouraging, or being able to kind of galvanize people around a cause, or who can bake a very mean Victoria sponge cake, I am your woman for that. Yeah. And so it's really important that we know what we're good at. We know what we can offer. We know what God's gifted us with. And so my question to you is this morning, what gift or skill do you have? What is it that you have that you think, okay, in the context of New Life, in the context of wanting to serve, in the context of wanting to help people find and follow Jesus, what do I have that I could give? Now, for some of you, it'll be dead obvious. Oh, I'm a this, I'm a that. But sometimes we can struggle to really nail down, what have I got to offer? And so some questions to ask. Most of us will have been reasonably good at something since forever. It might have been, you know, your parents said, oh, you were born. Mine was, you were born chatterbox. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Not much has changed. My mum used to say, from the minute her eyes are open, so is her mouth. And I think Mark would probably attest that's probably quite true. Although I've learned to give him sometimes a bit of space. But we have natural gifts. Now, maybe you are naturally musical or naturally creative or just naturally really good practically. Again, that's not my skill. But sometimes when we look at, okay, what is my natural skill? And could I utilize that for helping to serve in church, serving God's kingdom? Your natural talent or gift. Maybe through some study or through a hobby, you've acquired some skills. Photography or painting or flower arranging or something like that. Maybe you have acquired a skill and you think, okay, it's not my natural talent, but I've learned it and it's a skill that I've got that I could use. Or maybe what you are passionate about. And for me, this is a really big deal, because if something grabs us and we think, that's not right, it's not right. Maybe for you it's homelessness. It's not right that people are homeless. Maybe for you it's that elderly people are lonely and very often don't see people. That's not okay. Maybe for you it's that families struggle or children go hungry. And sometimes when it's those passions within us, they are the things that drive us and are our driver for serving. So we may not necessarily have a particular gift or skill in that, but actually the passion for it drives us. In the last church that we led in Hull, there was lots of going around at that time about holiday hunger and children, parents not being able to afford to feed their children, and it gripped me and it broke my heart. Now, I'm not a very good cook, but my passion for doing that enabled me to gather a team who then together we served and fed children. So can you see, it's your passion sometimes is enough to get you started. This is what I'm bothered about and this is what I want to see change. So we've got to have knowledge about what we are good at. And if you're not sure, ask a close friend, what do you think I can do? What do you think I'm good at? Where could I serve? We all have time, we all have treasure, and we all have talent. We probably wish we had a bit more of them all, but we've got what we've got, and we are where we are. And so we need to identify what our talents are and how we put them to good use. And can I just be really honest with you? If you're really not sure what you can do, but you've got a good heart and a good work ethic, sign up to serve. Because sometimes just starting, just being a grafter, somebody will turn up and do. That's where you can then begin to fine tune. Oh, I'm really good at this. So we've got to have knowledge of our gift and our skill. We also need to have knowledge of the bigger picture. So going back to the escape room, when we were looking for this sword that the king had hidden somewhere, we knew that was the ultimate goal. We weren't just in there to kind of have some fun and pull some books off the wall and kind of twiddle some knobs. No, we were looking for the sword. We knew the bigger picture. And in church, it's really important that we remember the why behind the what. So our what we do there, our teams, our ministries, all of that we outwork, but our why we do those things is really important. And there's a story, and I think I've told it here before, but just humour me because I love this story. It goes that a young woman had recently got married and she was cooking Sunday lunch for her husband, and she put the meat in the oven, but before she put the meat in, she chopped the ends off and put the ends on top, put it in the oven to cook. After a few weeks of this going on, the husband said, "Darling, why are you cutting the ends off the meat and putting them on the top?" She said, "Well, that's how my mum always cooked it. That's how we cook it. We'll ask next time we go." So the next time they went to the mum's house, she said, "Mum, why do you cut the ends off the meat and put them on the top to cook it?" "That's how my mum did it. We'll ask grandma next time we see her." So a few weeks later, they went to grandma's house, and sure enough, the ends were cut off. "Grandma, why do you do that?" She said, "When I first got married, I didn't have a pot that was big enough to fit the meat in." So what had started as a genuine, "This is why I'm doing it, because I physically can't fit this meat in," had then been carrying on. They got gigantic things, but we're chopping the ends off and putting them on the top. We need to know the why behind what we're doing, else we just keep doing, "Well, because we've always done it this way." But I'm not really sure why. And so what is our why to help people find and follow Jesus and to see people and places transformed by the love and power of Jesus? That's our why. Everything we do has to flow from that. Why do we do what we do? Because we want people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see their lives transformed. That is the why. Everything we do has to come from that place. And we want to create places and spaces where people can find Jesus. And so what we do has to feed into that. So let me just give you some examples. We're focusing on teams. So we have a production team. Give us a wave, production team. At the back, there they are. These guys don't just make the lights go on just so it looks pretty in here and, you know, kind of looks funky. Just can you give me like a flash of light to make it look funky? Oh, yeah, there we are. We're changing. They don't just do that and the sound, etc. So here's the thing. When we come in, we're able to see the words on the screen, so we know what we're singing. We're able to hear the person talking at the front, and we're able to, the online church is streamed online because of the guys at the back. They don't do that just because, well, we kind of fancy. No, because if people come in and can't hear what's been said and don't know what to sing, how are they going to have any idea of who Jesus is? Because they need to hear what's been said so they get to hear about Jesus. Our production team, they are operating out of that why. We want to help people find and follow Jesus. Therefore, how can we make the words appear at the right time, the lights be up and down as they need to be? Our hospitality team, the Tangerine Green Dream Team, as I call them, if people come in and don't feel welcomed and don't know where to sit and there's no drinks out, the chances are people might not come back. And if they might not come back, how are they going to hear about Jesus? And so we give them a warm welcome so that when they come in, they're more likely to think, "This is a group of people I'd like to return to." And so the hospitality team, the incredible job they do, not just because, well, we've got nothing better, just kind of stay on the door. No, they do that because ultimately we want to help people find and follow Jesus. And so their role is important. We want to help people find and follow Jesus. And so we want to invest in our children. And so that's why we provide provision through New Life Kids and Tots. Not just because, oh, we want, or maybe some of your parents just want to kind of get them out of your hair for the service. I don't know. But we choose to invest in them. Why? Because we want to help people find and follow Jesus. That why should be the thing that is like the life source behind everything that we do. Can you see how our what flows out of our why? We're not here, my goodness me, and I think I said this at the big weekend, we're not here just to build a New Life empire. We're not here to try and build the biggest church. No. We're here because we want people to encounter Jesus. And the teams that we work with, we're doing our best to, how can we do that? How can we most facilitate that? This is about building the kingdom of God and us getting to play our part. So we need knowledge of what our gift is, what our skill is, and we need knowledge of the bigger picture. Ah, okay, I get it. I get why we're doing this. The second thing we need is ownership. We need ownership of the bigger vision. You know, this is not just down to Russ and Sarah or team leaders or New Life Compassion. This takes an army of people to say, I'll play my part. I'll do my thing. Now, obviously, everything we do has to come under the leadership and the direction of the church. We can't have somebody saying, well, I'll do this and I'll do this, because then we've got division, and that's not what we want. We're all heading in the same direction, but we all can take ownership and play our part. We want to be contributors, not just consumers. We want to be people who don't just benefit from the teams, but we contribute to the teams. So all of us right now, we've benefited from the teams this morning. Put your hand up if you're welcomed by Tangerine Dream Team this morning, hospitality, the ones in the orange. Put your hand up if you've got kids out in NLK or NLK tots this morning. Put your hands up if you've been able to read the words and hear what's going on. We're benefiting from the teams. Put your hand up if you appreciate that the carpet is clean, the toilets are clean. It makes a difference. The maintenance team, all of our teams, we're going to hear about them in a few minutes, play a part. So can I encourage you, church, not just to benefit from the teams, but maybe think about, how can I contribute to the teams? How can I be a contributor, not just a consumer? If you ever come to my house, a phrase you'll often hear me say is, there are four people who live in this house. Because four of us, and the dog, but she doesn't kind of count, but four of us get the privilege of living in the house. Therefore, four of us have the responsibility of living in the house. And much to Micah and George's disdain, I ask them daily to empty the dishwasher. Now, I'm not saying they enjoy doing it, or they're like, yes, mother, I can't wait, let me empty the dishwasher. Just be thankful they've got a dishwasher is what I want to say to them. But four of us, we all live in the house. We all have a part to play. And it's the same in church. We are all part of the family of God. And if we so choose, there is a part for you to play here in New Life. Let's take ownership of the vision. There's a poem, and it's a little bit cheesy and a little bit corny, and I get that. I remember hearing this as a kid, and it kind of stuck with me. Hopefully it'll just make you smile, Riley. Riley? Riley, that's a word, isn't it, Riley? Sounds like that's a boy's name, but that's not the Riley, the other Riley, but they are. Anyway, let me read it to you. It might come up on the screen behind me, I'm not sure. This is a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. Stick with me. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have. There's a lot of bodies in there, but you kind of get the idea that actually, hey, listen, we've all got a part that we can play, and it's a privilege to play our part. And this is what happens when we take ownership, when we realize, actually, I've got a part I can play in this. This, building the kingdom, serving in church, this becomes ours, not just theirs, but it must never become, it's mine. I want to say that again. When we take ownership of this, this becomes ours, not just theirs, somebody else, but it must never become mine. We must never get possessive. This is the wall. This is my area. Don't be touching my area. Don't rotor anybody. I'm on this. Let's not get like that, church. Let's hold what we hold, what we do loosely, giving it the due honor and respect, but let's not hold it so tightly it just becomes, this is my thing and nobody else. So we've got to take ownership, and we're serving for the good of the whole. Knowledge, ownership, finally, action. We've just got to do something. We've just got to get involved and say, yep, I'm up for that. It's great fun being part of a team. And I want to say that being a part of a team, please don't feel you've got to be a professional This is not about we only allow professionals. This is about a heart. Now, obviously, some teams do need more skill than others. Really politely suggest that if you can't sing in tune, maybe the worship team is not the team to sign up for. But heart is important, and I'm sure we could have you and just not turn your microphone on and just make a joyful noise to the Lord. You get what I'm saying? Amen. It's excellence over perfection. See, perfection says you have to be the best. Excellence says I'm doing the best with what I've got. And as a church, that has to be our culture. Actually, we're going for excellence. We're doing the best we can with what we've got. We're not just aiming for this unattainable perfection. And so look around. Like, in a minute, we're going to get some of the team representatives up, and we're going to just have a little chat about what teams are available. So while they're up here, just be thinking, where could I serve? Where could a gap be that I think, yeah, I've got a bit of knowledge in that? Or even if, like I said, you just want to serve, there will be a place that you can sign up, and we'll be able to help find what you're good at and where you can serve. Think about what gaps there are, what passions, what drives you. So you've got to have knowledge of what your skill is, knowledge of the bigger vision, ownership of it. This is all of us together. And then action. We need some action. So I'm going to ask the wonderful team representatives to go and grab your wonderful signs and come join me on the stage. So let's give them a big round of applause as they do that. You'll have to keep clapping because there's a few of them that have got to go in. Okay, maybe save your clapping. It's fine. You'll get a bit hot. Just sit and just be still. It's fine. Come on up when you've got your signs, ladies and gents. Right, now we can clap again because they're coming again now. Woo! Fantastic. Fantastic. Come on, Graham, a bit quicker, please. A bit quicker. Time's running out. Oh, Joe's grabbed yours. Russ, you can come and join Joe. It's three of you. Yeah, no, you're fine. You're fine. You're all good. Fabulous. Just waiting for the last couple. Wonderful. So what I'm going to do is, very briefly, I'm going to go along and just explain, because some of them are more obvious than others, explain what, because some of these are departments, and underneath there are various smaller teams. And then at the end, these guys are all going to be stood, kind of spread out along the back. I would love for you, go and ask them some questions. What does it mean to be a part of your team? How often might I have to serve? I've got this skill, this gift. Could you use that? Doing that is not signing you up forever, and it's not saying, yes, you definitely can. It's finding out, I'm interested in this. We have a safer recruitment application process we have to go through for safeguarding reasons. Some of our roles, for instance, working with youth and children will require DBS checks and all of that kind of stuff. But we would love you to think, how could I get involved? So I'm going to start on this end, New Life Compassion. So New Life Compassion covers, at the minute, four main areas. We have our Lighthouse, which is our a hostel for the homeless. We have Gifted, which is our program, our residential program for women with life controlling issues. We have Open House, which every week here cooks a meal for anybody really who's in any need. It's not just homeless people, it's they have lots of different people come in. And then we also have Family Bank, which is our, I guess, our charity arm that provides free clothes and equipment for under 18s, not to 18s. So New Life Compassion covers a whole heap of things. And maybe you think, do you know what? On a Wednesday night, I can peel some potatoes. On a Wednesday night, I could come and I could sit and just eat and talk with people. Yes, they might be different from you, but we want people to come and be that friendly face, just to share Jesus in how you sit and eat and interact with others. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I'd love to volunteer, a Gifted. I'd love to be able to go in and offer some of my skills, or maybe a listening ear, or whatever it might be. Would you come and chat to the New Life Compassion team? These guys do an incredible job. And again, this is not theirs. This here is ours. So you might not be directly involved in New Life Compassion, but this is still ours as a New Life thing. So you've got Lighthouse, Gifted, the Open House Meal, and Family Banks. If any of that piques your interest, come and see the wonderful guys and Compassion. moving along. We've got hospitality, the Tangerine Dream Team. Love them. If you cannot wait to don a Tangerine t-shirt and you think, actually, do you know what? I'm a friendly face. I'd love to welcome somebody as they come in. I'd love to help set out the refreshments. And part of the hospitality team is they just keep an eye on things in the auditorium. We've got enough chairs out. There's a bit of rubbish that he's picking up. These guys do an incredible job. And often it's behind the scenes. I know like they're not behind the scenes because they stand out like a sore thumb with their t-shirts on. But a lot of what they do is unseen, but they do an incredible job. If you think, I'd like to get involved with that, because these guys serve not just on a Sunday, but at different events that we do as well. Go and chat to the guys in the hospital who are holding the hospitality thing. Find out and put your name down for hospitality. Then we have media. This is Tom. Everybody say hi to Tom. So our media department is kind of a new thing, really, that we're just sort of beginning to launch. And so media is going to cover photography. If you're maybe a great photographer and can take good shots, kind of as we're doing baptisms and different events and things, and also filmmaking. So media is going to cover anything creative of the film and photography and video and all that kind of stuff. So if you think, yeah, I love that stuff, that is what helps me get up in the morning, go see Tom, he's your man. Then we're coming along to NLK. Now this one here, NLK, covers four different teams, okay? I know there's a lot to remember, but if you think kids, just go and see Elaine and she'll talk it through with you. So NLK on a Sunday morning is our provision for primary school children. NLK Tots on a Sunday morning is our provision for the Tots. And then we have a different Tots on a Monday morning, which is for parents and carers and their children. And then also this department covers FAB, which is our family activity breakfast once a month, which Graham runs, but it comes under this. It's a little bit confusing, but go chat to somebody. They'll be able to tell you. So if you think, you know, once a month, I'd love to come. And just, even if it's just, I'll be there as a friendly face and I'll help serve and I'll help clear up. Or I've got a skill and a creative skill. I can make, I don't know, what could you make? Dumb bird houses, but something like that. If there's something like that, you think, I'd love to get involved, go chat to Elena. Put your name down, sign up to get involved in the kids, in Tots, in FAB, and in the third one, which are the other Tots. And then we have, in fact, I'm going to come back to you. Then we've got creative, creative. So this is the lovely Joe and Lois. Thank you so much for being up here. So creative, this covers puppets. So we have incredible puppet team, which Lois is a huge part of. So if you think, oh, I'd love to get involved. Again, look at me, I'm doing my hands like I'm a puppet. Shush now. If you think you'd love to get involved in puppets, then Lois is your woman. All this beautiful staging, you know, all like the lovely decor that we have, this is down to Joe. If you think, oh, now Joe's team is not a team that kind of works like every week, but it's more kind of a bit more one-off, isn't it? Yeah, not hit and miss, one-off. But if you've got an eye for detail, an eye for creativity, and you think, oh, I'd love to help make New Life look as beautiful as it does, see Joe. Creative also covers our worship team and the musicians and, I've said puppets. Stick with me, Russell, stick with me. Music, worship, puppets. Dance and theatre. If you fancy starting a dance group, come join, come speak to the creatives. Okay, so creative is anything like that. And it might be you're sitting thinking, oh, I'm really good at like underwater calligraphy or something like that. Come speak to the creative team. We'll try and find you. Try and find you a spot. I need to stop now, honestly. Production, the incredible production team. I've already talked about them. So production covers sound. So the sounds you can hear. Lighting. Projection of the PowerPoint and the words, etc., and also broadcast. So we broadcast our Sunday morning services. If you want to watch it all over again when you get home, it'll be on YouTube. If you think, I would love to serve in that, I'm really technical and I love listening. Can we hear enough guitar and have we got enough bass there and all that kind of jazz? Or I'd love just to be a part of a team that is so needed on a Sunday. Come speak to the production guys. They're going to be there and they will teach you. We're not just expecting you to come and know everything. We will help teach you. And then the wonderful, beautiful Graham Moore on the end with facilities. So facilities, and again, Graham is a star and a lot of what he does is unseen, but facilities covers the maintenance of our buildings because we have more than just this one. It covers decorating. It covers anything really that we need Graham to do, Graham does on facilities. And so if you are very manual and skilled at kind of DIY and things like that. Or even, do you know, cleaning? We're always looking for more people to help with the cleaning. If that's something practical, you think, I could serve and do that. Graham is your man to go talk to him. And then who did I say I was coming out? Oh, Ellis. Step forward, Ellis. So NLY, so this is our youth section of the church. And we have a real heart and passion for, not just for our kids to kind of have a great provision in New Life Kids and then it stopped, but actually we want to be able to be there and help minister to and invest into our young people. Because if we skip a generation, then we've lost a whole generation from church. And so if you feel either I could pray for the youth or I could serve once a month on a Friday or I could do something, would you come and talk to Ellis? This is probably the department that we're most in need of help with at the minute. And maybe God will just drop something to your heart and just stir something. I could help. Because we don't want to lose our kids. It's no good having an amazing kids provision if then when there's we haven't got an amazing NLY provision. And that's not because you guys have not done a great job, but we need more help. So NLY covers anything from kind of 11 up to 18. So would you please give our team reps a huge round of applause, and they're going to go and stand at the back. As they're doing that, would you put your hand up in the room if you currently serve in any way on any team, on any rota at all? Put your hand up if that's you. And just have a little look around at how many hands are up in this room. It's incredible. You can put your hands down now. And from the pastoral team, we want to say a huge thank you. Because you turn up week in, week out, and you serve. And you turn up maybe when you probably could, maybe would rather do something else, but you turn up and you serve. And we are so grateful. New Life cannot function without you doing what you do. And I know sometimes people can feel, well, nobody said thank you to me, or we always thank one team more than the other. This is us now saying thank you so much for serving and for giving. It is an honor and it's a privilege, and we are honored that you choose New Life to serve. And so if New Life is where you class as your spiritual home, if this is where you think, yep, my roots are down here, this is home for me, I want to encourage you, when we finish in just a couple of minutes, go and chat to the teams. And if you're really not sure and just want to put your name down for anything, see Angie at our Next Steps banner and she'll take your details and we'll start it from there. Just to finish up, after the passage in 1 Corinthians 12 where Paul has talked about the body and we're all different parts of the body, he says this: now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And he says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I'd only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had faith that could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. And it's a well-known passage, and Paul goes on to say all these different qualities about love. And that has to be the foundation of what we do. Actually, I'm serving, not just because there's a need, although there is, not just because there's maybe a gap on the rota, although there might be, but actually, ultimately, because of love. Because of my love for Jesus, my love for his church, my love for the community of people that don't yet know about him. And that has to be the very foundation of all that we do, that actually I'm serving on that rota because I love and I am loved. So I appreciate it's hot in here. We've been sat a long time. So I'm going to draw this morning to a close. But I would love to encourage you, please go and chat to the teams. Find out what part you can play so that together we are strengthened, together our witness grows, and together we get to see God's kingdom come from heaven to earth. So would you stand with me if you're able while we pray? Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Because you gift us with skills and gifts and abilities. And we therefore have the ability to serve. We have the opportunity and the privilege to be able to use our little to help see your kingdom come. And I pray, Holy Spirit, First of all, I thank you for everybody who already serves. Will you bless them? I pray they will feel encouraged and inspired today. And I pray that for those who maybe are not yet serving or who feel they could serve in a different capacity, will you stir hearts today, I pray. And may we be a body of believers who love you deeply, who love one another deeply, and who love and serve our community. And that we'll be a group of people who can put our skills and our talents and our abilities to great use to see your church grow and your kingdom established here on earth as it is in heaven. In your name we ask this, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.